Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
I didn't see on the
way. Hi there, and a very good morning to you. This is Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette. Here with two doctors today for the show live. Dr. Jerry Mixon is off this weekend. In fact, we're not going to see him until the new year. So he is going to be off. I believe he's fencing, watching his daughter do some fencing today. So
that's exciting. Right. He is.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But Dr. Samira Umat is here along with Dr. Ken Pentland. So we have two wonderful doctors in the studio ready to talk with you, ready to see what's going on. And how's holiday season? How is the Christmas season going for you doctors?
It's busy.
It is
Shall
busy.
We just say that? That's my right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just impressed how busy the office is. I literally walk in, and then by the time yesterday, Frederick had to say to me, "Doctor, please leave now." I'm trying. Trust me, I'm really trying.
From here through the new year, I think I'm pretty book solid.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like all of a sudden this calendar is just doubled booked or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good. I love what I do, so it's been fun, but it was just interesting to see that all of a sudden everybody kind of just wanted to come in.
I see you're decked out festively.
Yay.
This morning.
Hello. Thank you for noticing. Thank you. Notice
yes.
The glitter, everybody.
You've got some glitter and sparkles happening to you.
I do. I love this time of the year. It's very busy and very stressful for everybody, but I absolutely love it. And I have to kind of remind myself to pause and enjoy what
yes.
I enjoy about it. And take time to appreciate people and things. We had a very nice lunch at the office yesterday, and
good.
It was a fun time for all of us to kind of just take our lunches together and just sit and chat, and hopefully we'll get more time to kind of interact. Because otherwise, lunches in the offices are staggered.
Yes.
Nobody can leave at the same time, right? We're all around. I'm always there. I never go anywhere, but that's a different story.
Eating at your desk.
It's good to remember to take time to enjoy a cup of hot chocolate once in a while.
Not every day. Just one. Just savor that. And what has been your highlight so far, would you say, doctors, of this Christmas season?
Well, just yesterday we did a little gift exchange at the office, the Secret Santa thing.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun.
That was a lot of fun. They were videoing our reactions.
Oh, boy. Did you have any idea who was yours, Dr. Pentland?
Not until the end, no.
Okay, so they were very secretive.
A nice pair of fluffy warm socks, so that was nice.
Yes, those are, always welcome. And Dr. Umat, how about your Secret Santa?
Yes, and it was wonderful. I loved watching. I went last on purpose. I love watching everybody's face, their expressions. It was just nice to see everybody happy and relaxed. And, everybody got great gifts and very thoughtful. And so for me, it was just heartwarming to see the team together and having a good time together.
I think that's so fun.
Yeah.
Oh, what a wonderful time. So, all right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and give our phone number here, and then we're going to dive in because you've got a response to last week's show for someone.
I do.
All right. So here, let me give the phone number to get through for Leading Edge Medicine. It's 1-800-465-8770. Get in the call queue just like, Ben just got in here. Way to go, Ben. Right. First one. Oh, and now he hung up. Ben, call back. 1-800.
You scared him, Lynette.
I did. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We are here in the studio. We would love to talk with you. Okay, so Dr. Umat, you have a letter there.
I do. So I was not here last week, but Dr. Mixon sent me an email and he wanted me to talk about this. It was apparently somebody had called about estrogen and colorectal cancer.
Oh, okay.
And I just want to go ahead and read Dr. Mixon's email.
Okay.
So if you had called last week about your wife having colorectal cancer and estrogen use, this response is for you. And I will read it directly from his email. Over the course of the past 15 years, it has become clear through many peer-reviewed double-blind studies that estrogen reduces the risk of colorectal cancer by about 40%. Although one peer-reviewed study involved 2,648 patients with colorectal cancer showed that use of estrogen reduced the risk of cancer by 63%. You know,
wow.
That's impressive because I don't know the mechanism. I've often wondered what is the mechanism, but women who use estrogen reduce the risk of developing colorectal cancer.
Wow.
You know, we had a caller a few weeks ago and she said, I'm past that. So what she meant was she was past the symptoms of hot flashes, which to her indicated that she was experiencing symptoms of postmenopause. But you are never really past postmenopause. And so estrogen impacts on many different things. Obviously, two studies showing 40% and up to 63% reduced risk for colorectal cancer. He goes on to write that the combination of estrogen with progesterone gives even greater protection against colorectal cancer in women in most studies. The estrogen beta receptor appears to increase the incidence of cell death in colorectal cancer. What is less clear is the effect of estrogen and progesterone on the therapy of colorectal cancer. We know that women who do not yet have colorectal cancer greatly benefit from estrogen and progesterone therapy. What is less certain is whether or not estrogen and or progesterone combination enhance the survival of women who already have colorectal cancer. The number of women in whom this modality has been compared to women not using estrogens is fairly small, which is why a definitive answer is not yet found in the literature. However, many researchers do believe that estrogen and progesterone therapy probably enhance the effectiveness of chemotherapy on this tumor. So the question is, yes, we know that if you're already on estrogen and progesterone, your risk of getting colorectal cancer is diminished. But if you now have colorectal cancer, should you continue estrogen and progesterone and will it impact on survival or not? And the answer to that is maybe, but we really don't know because the data is very little. The studies are not there. And then in his last paragraph, he says, since the mechanism by which estrogen protects against colon cancer is to increase the rate of apoptosis, which is spontaneous cell death in tumors, the expectation that estrogen and progesterone would enhance rather than interfere with the chemotherapy of colorectal cancer is rational. I just wish I had some really good peer-reviewed studies to prove it. On the other hand, if it were my wife with colorectal cancer, I would definitely continue her estrogen and progesterone therapy. As often happens in medicine, we don't always have a definitive answer and must make judgments on the best currently available information. This is one of those cases.
Okay.
So so this is his email, and he put it very clearly and very succinctly. So thank you, Dr. Mixon, for doing that. And if you had called last week and are wondering about colorectal cancer and estrogen, the answer is we don't really know with certainty, but definitely I think maybe the advantages outweigh the risks. So I will let you decide that. And if you have any other comment or you have another question about it, please don't hesitate to call us today. Okay. We would be happy to take your call.
Very good. All right. That phone number to call in for the live show today, which, of course, we are live, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We have Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Ken Pentland. And Dr. Pentland, welcome to the show today.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yes, glad that you are here, and you are looking festive, too, in your bright blue. Very good. Very good. You handed me something here, which is your specialty. Yes. You're like our gut specialist, all things when we're not feeling good, when we're feeling sluggish, and also the guy who knows about how IV therapies can really make a difference. Why don't you take a moment and tell us some of these very special holiday IV therapies that we can get to boost us during this season?
We're having a promotion right now for our IV therapy for the holiday season. And we've come up with some specific combinations for the sort of flu season that we're coming into, too. So they're called like Candy Cane Cure, Festive Fuel, Jingle Juice.
Oh. Before everybody goes away and thinks, okay, what are they doing at longevity?
I'll have what he's having.
I think what they did was just use some festive names, but the treatment is legitimate. Okay.
Okay. So we're not putting
putting hot chocolate and caffeine.
Candy canes.
Okay.
Right.
No.
We melt up the candy canes in the office and we put them into the IV bags.
Oh no. Okay. Why don't you give us a little overview of some of these, Dr. Pentland, because they look like it's perfect for this season.
Right. So, you know, the Candy Cane Cure, for example, is a combination of the Myers cocktail and the vitamin C, you know, that's aimed at supporting the immune system and boosting energy, mental clarity, and those kind of things. Very good for pre or post travel or getting over an illness, those kinds of things. Very, very useful for that. And then, you know, the different combinations, the other one is, you know, like, they call it Jingle Juice. That one is predominantly NAD, NAD plus. So that's going to improve cellular energy for, you know, reducing damage to mitochondria, brain fog, improving antioxidant status, things like that. So the NAD is going to be it's very popular right now, actually. A lot of people requesting that.
You know, there's a lot of talk about NAD, and it does help with cellular function. So NAD is required by every cell of the body for cellular energy. As we get older, we deplete our NAD, like other nutrients, and therefore the Myers, as you mentioned earlier, would be useful too. But people sometimes will take multivitamins. The problem with NAD, though, is that if you take an oral supplement, you're not really absorbing any of it orally. Hence, you have to take it through either an IV route or you have to do a subcutaneous injection in order to absorb any NAD. But what it helps with tremendously in the cell is with providing energy to the mitochondria, and therefore its cellular energy, as well as cognitive functioning and cardiovascular health. And so if those are your issues, then you want to ask about, you know, how much NAD and how frequently can you do it? And then note how much of an impact it makes for you.
A lot of patients do ask, you know, if they come in for an IV, how frequently should I do this? And the answer, I think, that I think is most appropriate is, you know, how often do you need to go on vacation? You know, it depends on your workload and your general state of health. Some people who have maybe a chronic condition that they want to address maybe need a little more frequently, right? Well, the IV is kind of like a vacation for the cells. You know, it gives them a chance to restore their batteries. And like NAD is a good source of energy for the cells. And then having an antioxidant in there like glutathione, you know, that kind of represents a vacation because cells are always dealing with oxidative stress. And that's kind of their workload, right? So reducing oxidative stress for cells is kind of like going on vacation. So I kind of think of it like that. How often do you, how long does a vacation last for you? The benefits of vacation. Some people need more than once a year, you know. So I usually recommend, you know, for most patients, once a month is good for 3 to 6 months, depending
on. For vacation, Dr. Pentland?
For the cells, yes,
okay,
for the cells.
For I just wanted to clarify that. Okay, so once
so
a month for vacation.
I have this vision of you going on vacation and leaving your cells working.
Yes.
And then you come coming back and working and sending your cells on vacation.
That
it's
would
like
work.
The M&M commercials, right?
Yes. That totally works. All right. Well, thank you, doctors. That's a great start to our show today. All right. What we're going to do is take a quick break right here, and we'll be back with your phone calls. We're going to start off with Ben V first. And if you have a question for the doctors, Dr. Umat or Dr. Pentland, here's that number to call. It's 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We would love to talk with you in just moments. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh.
So festive. Good morning, Leading Edge Medicine. Here we are, less than 2 weeks. We're more like a week and a half away.
Don't say that. Please don't say that.
Are you ready, doctors?
For never.
I always like the first week of December because there are things I'm looking forward to and plenty of time for the season. And then when it gets to this, you know, week.
It's crunch time.
Yes, crunch
home stretch.
For sure, for sure.
My tree's not ready yet.
Your tree is not ready. Okay, and mine is up with lights, and that's where it stays because I want my husband to help me decorate. Maybe tonight. No, we got a party tonight. Maybe tomorrow. Yeah, there we go. Okay, so we have a phone caller from Florida. And before I go to Ben V, I want to let you know here is that number to call, 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770 to talk with the doctors about your health, aging, and maybe a recent diagnosis. Good morning, Ben V. How are you?
Good morning, Ben.
Good, yeah.
Hi, Ben.
Good. Yes, good morning. Yeah, my name is Ben, B-E-N-Z, Benz.
Benz. Okay. There we go. All right, Benz, how can we help?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all that you do there. Longevity, you provide us with so much information, and it's very much appreciated.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
And
Benz.
Secondly,
Benz, like the Mercedes-Benz.
Yes.
Right. And Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you.
And, Merry Christmas, Ben.
Merry Christmas.
I would like you to discuss an erection as it relates to men's health as we age.
Okay. And so your question is basically erectile dysfunction as men are getting older. And that's a very common issue, Benz, and usually it's related to loss of blood flow, vascular compromise, and sometimes, you know, stress will play a role in it if there is plaque buildup in the blood vessels, and that then compromises blood flow. So what is happening to you systemically is going to affect you in the sexual department as well, because your vascular tree is the same across the body. Sometimes people dissociate the two and they think that, you know, obesity or diabetes or heart disease and congestive heart failure does not impact on sexuality, but it really does because the whole vascular tree is affected by these systemic problems. And therefore, like, for example, diabetes being a very classic example affecting all the blood vessels in your whole body everywhere, it is going to affect your vision. So that's why ophthalmologists will sometimes pick up a patient's diabetes before they even know themselves, because they haven't gone to the doctor for a while. And the ophthalmologist will look in the eyes and will see small changes in the blood vessels, and usually they are compromising blood flow. So that happens everywhere, and it's the smallest of blood vessels that are affected first. So the peripheral nerves and blood vessels, so sensation is impacted. You don't feel the heat or the cold. That's why diabetic patients get burns on their hands, because they don't notice it, but the skin burns. It happens on their feet. They don't look at their feet and the feet burns. And the same is happening to their blood flow to the penis. And that is why they are seeing erectile dysfunction. And so as men get older, as blood vessels are compromised because of the damage of aging and their their blood flow is affected, that's what's happening to them. And if they have other systemic problems, it'll compound their medical issue. Also, sometimes some blood, some medications have side effects. Mm-hmm. It could be, depression, lack of desire. And so that will then make it worse for them to
blood
to,
pressure medications.
To get a good response. And as they say in medicine, a very smart, geriatrician taught me in my residency, when an older person has a medical problem, the first three things that you must rule out are medication, medication, and medication. And so take a very careful look at the medications. And so that is the biggest issue. And so how do we help with that in aging? Well, obviously there are medications that you can take. Again, here I said the same thing. It could be a problem. As we all know, they do cause some side effects, but they can help with improving blood flow. And also, at the clinic here, we do use sound wave therapy, and our device is the Viasure device, which has the largest head, which improves basically blood flow and therefore will help with a good response. And we have been successful with that, not just for ED, but also with BPH. Mm-hmm. And so there are a few things that you can do in terms of treatment. And again, it's risk-benefit ratio. Some of the drugs that do help improve blood flow do cause headache also, because they can lower blood pressure. So you have to be careful about dosing, frequency, which is the best dose to use, when to use it, and then are there alternative therapies like the Viasure or sound wave therapies?
Okay. All right. Did you have something to add to that, Dr. Pentland?
Well, yeah. I mean, his question was mostly about erectile dysfunction as we get older, but there are universal causes as well. I mean, chronic stress, for one, you know, erectile function requires activation of the parasympathetic nervous system, which is the rest and digest mode rather than the running from the bear mode, right? The sympathetic nervous system, which, you know, nobody has stress these days, right?
No.
Everybody's work is, perfectly
easy.
Peaceful. Stress is ubiquitous, and it can often play a role if you're not managing stress well. But stress is also comes in biochemical form. We talk about various states of biochemical imbalance, like pH, for example. The pH of the blood can also stress the nervous system or the tissues, and that also counts as a stress that can affect erectile function. How do we manage pH? That's often diet and lifestyle choices. So those kind of things will affect circulation as well.
Is that helpful, Benz?
Yes, it is. So could I ask what medication? I know I've heard of the Viasure. So what medications are you talking about to improve blood flow?
Well, the PDE5 inhibitors are very popular, and they are your Cialis, Viagra class of drugs that basically improve blood flow. So the history was that they were initially developed as cardiovascular drugs for heart health. But pharmaceutical industry being driven by the green, obviously this became more popular as an ED medication. So PDE5 inhibitors, Cialis, Viagra class of medication, sildenafil, they improve blood flow, and they are very popular medications.
Okay. So can a man live a long life without having an erection? In other words, if a person's in their 90s, have an erection, they can still live a healthy life?
So what your question is, if they don't have erections, can they still live a healthy life?
Yes, at the age, and over age 90, can you still healthy life and maybe not have erections at that? Maybe at 90, I don't know how many people at 90 have erections, but...
The morning erections are usually a cortisol response. And so, as with aging, as everything else, with a blunting of normal responses, sometimes if they're not getting those morning erections, it's related to either just lack of blood flow, lack of cortisol response, lack of more, natural pathways, which are just tending to slow down. So generally, I would say that, it's a personal choice if somebody wants to do something about it or they're fine with it. But we do see that, again, as Dr. Pentland mentioned, stress plays a big role here as well. But, you know, you're at 90, you're aging as well. And so there are a lot of stressors on the physiology of the body also, which is going to impact on these natural events that did occur when you were more youthful but are not occurring now.
We might also mention senescent cell therapy here.
Well, yes, definitely. And will that improve this physiological function? I honestly don't know the answer to that. There is no study that has been published about that particularly. But senescent cell therapies generally reduce the senescent cell load. What we don't know in the literature is, are they useful for everybody? Because obviously if you have some medications, there are contraindications for use and you cannot use it for everyone. What is the dose to be used? How frequently should it be used? And who is your best patient? So there is a lot of unknown. We know that as you get older, you may want to reduce senescent cell load. But then is it safe for everybody as we get older? And there are a lot of uncertainties about this. But certainly the literature is clear that as we reduce senescent cell load, we enhance functioning of the normal physiological pathways. Because what happens is when we build senescent cells, not only do these senescent cells impact on function of normal cells, they actually prevent the normal cells in their vicinity from performing normally as well. Mm-hmm. So they are dangerous, but they cause more danger. So mm-hmm. reducing the senescent cell load will definitely be helpful. But at 90, it is not clear, or at any age, really, it's not clear how frequently should you use it, because there's no blood test that we can measure. We are looking for labs. There are some labs that will do some testing, but they're not clinically available. There is muscle biopsies that can be done. Most people don't want to do that. So clinically available in the office with ease, there is nothing right now. But I'm sure that there are many people looking into that. So will it be available in the future? I'm certain it will be, but we just don't know when. Okay?
Okay.
I hope.
Okay, so just to be clear, I want to make sure from what you've told me, a person as they age, although they slow down with their functions, they can still be have a healthy life between 90 and 100 or beyond and still have no erection. Is that correct?
Well, the erection is a little bit like a barometer for circulatory health.
And normal physiology, right?
Okay. Yeah. That's what I was getting to.
So if they're not getting that, you know that blood flow is compromised, right? And at 90, you would expect that there has to be some compromise, right? It's not the same as when they were 20.
It's hard to reach 90 without any kind of dysfunction.
Exactly. And to what extent and to what degree, everybody's very different, and it depends upon what has happened to them in their life in getting to 90.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, Ben. Thank you.
Okay. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. We will take a quick break, and we will be back in just a few minutes. We welcome your calls. We're live this week. However, the next 2 weeks, right in the middle of the holidays, all of us will be enjoying time with our families. We'll have a wonderful recorded program for you. But if you've got questions for the doctors, today is your day to get through. Get in the call queue. We've got room for you at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire. Jack Frost nipping at your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir.
and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
What a beautiful song. Oh, indeed. So perfect for the holidays.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a chestnut that had been roasting on the open fire?
I'm not sure.
I think so. Okay.
I had a chestnut cake once that was very good.
Okay. Oh, really?
Chocolate chestnut cake.
Okay. I had a family in Italy that made the chestnuts roasting on their open fire, and I tried them. Mwah. Yeah, needed to dip it in chocolate or something. But I'm like, somebody wrote a song about this. So maybe Aunt Sylvia did it a little differently than what they did in the song.
You know, Lynette, I wanted to mention a little bit more about that last question.
Oh, yes, about the erectile dysfunction and aging.
Right. You know, we've had a number of patients use the Viasure, and most of them do see some significant improvement. However, the improvement doesn't usually last forever. Sometimes,
like anything else.
Right. Okay. So sometimes we'll have some repeat patients after, 6 to 12 months. They might come back for another round, and they still see improvement at the second round. But for those who that's not enough, and I do have a couple of 90-year-old patients who do get, late 80s and 90s, they the Viasure isn't enough sometimes, along with the tadalafil, the PDE5, the Cialis. So they'll do those things, but they don't necessarily get enough support. So for those patients, we might even use a Trimix or a prostaglandin injection. And that's kind of at the time you do an injection right into the penis. It sounds traumatizing, but it's actually quite doable.
Okay.
And they use an auto injector device, and that provides pretty significant support, and it's tailorable. It's you can customize the dose through the pharmacy to the patient's needs. And that's what I like about it, is that it's customizable. As long as the patient can get used to the process, it's quite effective in those cases.
All right. That's good to know. Thank you, Dr. Pentland. Whatever you'd like to talk about today, the phone lines are wide open for you. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. And this is the season. A lot of folks asking about the flu shot. Is it too late? Can I take that at the same time as my COVID? Can I take my, what are the responses for that? Is it too late, or I need my pneumonia shot, or I think I already had it, but I'm not sure.
I don't think it's too late.
Okay.
I'm a firm believer in immunization. And so for me, with the flu shot, some years they get it right and some years they don't.
Okay.
Unfortunately,
it's different every year, just like the strain of flu, right?
Yeah. And unfortunately, we don't know until later whether it was effective, depending upon the numbers of people who came in with illness that had and had not been vaccinated. But I am a believer, and especially if you're at risk and if you're going to be meeting family and friends and going to be exposed and or traveling, I do think it's one of those things that, you stack the odds in your favor so you prevent yourself from getting sick, or protect yourself, rather, from getting sick. Or if you do get sick, it's a milder version of the illness. So I'm a believer. And with regards to getting it together, I think, again, it's individual, depending upon whether you react badly or not and whether you need more time to recover or not. Certainly, if you're younger and healthy and have time constraints, I would say get them if you're a believer and you're going to get them, rather than not.
Okay, that's good. What other things are you seeing in the clinic these days? At Longevity Medical Clinic, of course, who sponsors the program here at Leading Edge Medicine, we have a lot of patients, and you have dealt with a lot of people.
Actually, thank you for asking, Lynette. It may be a good time to talk about our new laser device for hair restoration.
Oh. Ooh.
We have late this year purchased a new machine that will help with treating patients that are experiencing scalp hair loss. And we had a program in the past that was really very successful. The only problem with that was that the injections hurt. So anytime you're trying to inject into the scalp, there is going to be pain. many of our patients got very good results with PRP. Some did not. Again, the younger you are, the less loss you have, the less micronizing of the hair follicles you have, the better outcome you will have. If you have other comorbid medical conditions, you're on drugs that will prevent your recovery, you're older, and there's extensive loss already with a lot of micronizing, then obviously the results are not going to be that good. But the treatment was based on sound physiology, given that, you know, micronizing hair follicles will be rejuvenated if you give them nourishment and nutrition, and then you use the cap to improve blood flow. So given that some people were having issues with pain, we decided to look into other alternatives, and this new device, Cynosure Lutronic, has a machine called Ultralaze, which we acquired to help with this process. And the reason we used it was because it does not hurt to use the machine. Mm. And so we have revamped our program, and the new program has been rolled out and ready to go. So anybody that's experiencing hair loss without any known cause, for example, you know, you've seen your medical provider and your dermatologist, and there's no underlying medical cause. Obviously, if you're hypothyroid and you're losing hair, you want to treat the hypothyroidism first. But if there is no other cause and they're saying, you know, they don't know what to do, then you are looking for help, then definitely give us a call, because we do have a new program. With the laser therapy, the way it works is that when you come into the office, you'll have your consultation first. We will take micronized pictures. We will take a lot of pictures because we want to see the results as well. And then you begin your treatment program. Now, the biggest thing in this treatment is just preparing the scalp. And so they're going to basically remove the hair, expose the scalp, and treat the area of the scalp. And so they're going to have to stop the machine every few minutes to get the right exposure.
Okay.
And then treat that area of exposure. And that's what's going to take the time. But it's not a painful thing. You have to have washed hair, dry, clean hair, and then they're going to do the treatment, which will take them a few minutes. Once that treatment is finished and they've created the microchannels with the laser device, that's what it's doing. It's opening up channels for on the scalp, and then a special Keralase device, a serum is placed on the scalp. That is nanoparticles that will penetrate through the microchannels that have been created, and then you sit under the laser light in the office for 6 minutes, which then helps penetrate those nanoparticles through the microchannels that have been opened up. And then you go home with your home care, and you continue home care. You come back in about 4 weeks, you repeat the treatment, and it's 6 treatments. And then we take pictures again and we see how you're responding. But in the meantime, the home care is going to be very important. You will have a shampoo and a conditioner. You will have a serum factor to apply. And you may have another prescription medication that you will apply on the scalp. So if you are experiencing scalp hair loss and you're wondering what to do about it, do give us a call, because we do have a new program with a laser device that'll open up microchannels through which we will penetrate serum that will allow nourishment to the follicles that are still there but are just getting thinner because they don't have enough food. And then with the laser light, and if you want to purchase the laser light cap, you can. And the newer caps are much cheaper than the older ones.
Oh, very good to know. Now, how would someone know if they are a good candidate for this? When they come in, what will our doctors look at? What will the...
So these, the consultation is through Bella Medica.
Okay.
It will be done by the master aestheticians, and they're looking at the scalp. You will fill out the medical history questionnaire, and they're looking to see, is there any scarring? Is there any flaking? Is the scalp healthy or not? Are the micronizing follicles there or are they gone?
Mm.
And
okay.
They will know from your history whether you've seen another doctor or not. Is there any other underlying medical problem? If there is a medical problem and you're a longevity patient, then your longevity doctor will help with that.
Mm. Okay.
If there's no underlying medical problem, then, of course, it's easy for the treatment. And then if you're not a longevity patient, we still want you to come because we can point you in the right direction. We can have you get clearance. We can help with some of the labs if necessary. So do come on, because we have a new, brand new program.
All right. This is good to know for hair loss. And one last question, Dr. Umat.
Yes.
What would be some things other than someone who has gone through chemotherapy with cancer?
Yes.
Would this be helpful for them potentially?
Yeah, especially if the chemotherapy is now behind them and they are waiting for the hair to come back. Yes, this can maybe stimulate the regeneration of their follicles and make them a little bit better for them. So definitely I would consider it, but please wait till all of your treatments are done. And then the other subset of patients that get very good results with this are those that have had a hair transplant.
Oh.
And now are losing the transplanted hair. So for them, we would just help with extra nourishment for the scalp.
Okay. So you can
That's
help
great.
Save
yeah.
that very expensive
exactly.
investment of the transplant.
Exactly.
Okay. We are here at a break. Time to take a break, and then we will be back with a listener from Alaska. So stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and this is that number to get into the call queue. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back. Stay there.
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it
Welcome
snow.
Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine.
Man,
my name is Lynette, here with two wonderful doctors. There we go. Yeah, I disappeared from the camera. I have Dr. Samira Umat here and Dr. Ken Pentland. Whatever your questions are, they are here to help. And doctors, we already had a call from Florida today. Now we're going the opposite direction, headed yeah. to Alaska.
Well, you know, this is Dr. Mixon's dream come true, right?
Oh, yes.
National footprint.
All over the place,
yeah.
yes.
Continental footprint.
And we are right at the opposite extremes
yes.
of the country right now.
That's right. Some folks under palm trees, and now some folks with some snow, perhaps.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, Vasily. How are you doing?
Good morning.
Okay.
How can we help?
Hello. I just had concern of technology throughout the United States. I just lost my dad, and he's aging, and I hear a lot of talk about old people, but on my way up there, just concerned of your technology coming to Alaska. It would be great. I worked for the phone company for so many years, and trying to connect this technology to our state so that way we can not be lost in the world of technology down there. That way our people would be a lot safer to, understand all this understanding of growing old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for your question. It's a great question. First of all, sorry for your loss.
Uh-huh.
But aging is something that we have always considered as a normal part of our physiology. And hence, as a medical profession, we have not paid attention to what do we do for it. It's considered normal, and therefore insurance doesn't pay for any of the stuff that happens as normal part of aging. However, in the last few decades, there has been a lot of advances in age management medicine. A lot of people are looking at how do we help the aging process so that there is quality of life. It's all about adding that quality of life, which, first of all happened when antibiotics were first introduced. With the advent of antibiotics, people didn't die of infections, and so we were able to improve and advance lifespan. In more recent years, especially during COVID, in the United States, the average life expectancy actually went down a little bit. But if you live to be 75 and you're healthy, then you can add to your life expectancy more than the average, because right now it's around 76, 78 years old, a little bit higher for women than for men. Women tend to live longer than men. But how do we enhance aging? How do we improve quality of life with aging? And that basically involves paying attention to the process before you start noticing that you're starting to age. So, for example, your peak physiological health is in your mid-20s. And so you want to be proactive then. When do we build most of our bone marrow and our reserves in our bones is when we're younger. But we don't get understand that. And so when we get older, it's too late. But if we are more physically active, if we are stressing the bones more when we are younger, we're building more reserve for ourselves. And then as we get older, there's a loss of nutrients, there's loss in muscle fibers, there's loss of vascular flow, there's loss of supplements, there's a loss of a lot of different things that are required to maintain natural healthy homeostasis. And so if you think about it as a tree, the tree has its roots, it has its trunks, and then it has its leaves. The leaves are the symptoms. The trunk is what provides the support, but the root causes come from underneath, which is not visible. A lot of that we can control now. We understand it better. For example, we talked about stress management earlier. We can control our sleep. We can control our relationships. We can control our interactions with people. We can control what we put in our mouth and the food that we eat. So some of those things will support the trunk, which will then support the expression of disease, which is the leaves. And then if you go past that, you go, okay, let's get a little bit more specific. Well, now we talked a little bit about IV therapies. We've talked about supplementing with nutrients. We've talked about pH balancing. We also do exosomes. We've talked about senescent cell therapies. And those are all new things. There are peptides we can use. So there's a lot of newer things that we can do to help your physiology as you are aging. In fact, you know, next week and the week after, we're not going to be here live, but Dr. Mixon and I have recorded segments for that along with the best of. Mm-hmm. And in one of those, I forget if it's this, the following weekend or the week after, but in one of those segments, we talk about aging and LMC old. We basically call it old and LMC old. And so we talk about this in more depth about what it is that we offer. Now, obviously, you know, we cannot say anything, but you know, I met my 88-year-old lady this week and mm-hmm. it was amazing. She looks great. She's, you know, walking straight, no walker, no cane. Her daughter brought her. It was just a joy to see her. And the question always is, had she not been a longevity patient for almost two decades, what would she be like today? Mm-hmm. And there is no way I can predict that. Yet when I see her today, I'm just grateful, happy, she's blessed, and she's grateful that she's doing as well as she is. And the common question people come with are, I'm watching my friends that are my age, and they don't look good. I feel I'm in a better position than they are. Mm-hmm. And that is the big thing that I hear from 90% of my patients. Mm-hmm. Even if at age 50, when they join us, they may not see that. When they've been with us two decades later, they tell us that, you know, all of the people around me that I've, these are my friends, my family, these are people I associate with. They're not like I am.
Mm, I see that too in patients, some of the younger patients that come in as prospective patients and say, I'm not sure I need this yet.
Right.
I tell them, you know, the sooner you start is generally the better. And for reasons that you mentioned, you know, later on, you're going to, there's a trajectory change you know, in 20 years. I always say, you know, I love that old expression, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is now.
Now, yes.
And that, I think that applies very well to that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, to answer your question, there are advances in technology. Can we do it remotely through Alaska? During COVID, the medical laws in states were more lax, and we could do telemedicine and help our patients. More recently, that may be changing. So a physical presence in the area where you're being treated is important. And I think it just helps overall anyways. But more and more people are asking for the telemedicine benefits. So will we be able to have a conversation? Yes. Can we provide some of the therapies? Well, no, if they're not available in your area, then you may need to come down here. Say, for example, if Viasure was an option, or IV therapies, or, you know, something else, a scalp treatment, then if it is not available in your area, then yes, the travel might be necessary. So I think that's the best way of answering that question.
But a lot of what longevity does can be done anywhere. What we teach, what we do, you know, you come in, you get the initial visit and talk with your doctors, get the blood test. And
so, again, his question was, can it be done remotely with the advances in technology? And then in aging, what are the advances in technology? So, yes, there are plenty of things we can do, plenty of things you can do for yourself where you are.
Oh, yeah.
But some of them do require
coming in,
being seen, being evaluated, and then determining.
We can't do house calls with the Viasure machine.
No, you can't.
That's true.
And,
yeah. Quite expensive.
And also sometimes the patient may not see it, right? You see the patient in the office and you go, hey, you know, and you start a conversation, and then they'll go, oh, yeah, you're right. I didn't notice that. Mm. And that may then lead to something. Mm. Like, I've often seen patients and go, I think you need an IV therapy. Go get it today or tomorrow. And people have had to do that, right? So that you cannot do when you are talking to somebody on the phone. And sometimes it's not even that easy when it is a telemedicine and you can see them.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that helpful for you, Vasily?
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm a pretty motivated person at my age, you know. I just don't want to lose that motivation, you know, getting to that age. I have a lot of grandchildren myself already, and I want to be helpful to them, you know, getting old and doing a lot of things.
You are right. A lot of times my patients will come in and say, you know, I saw my parents suffer with this and I don't want to suffer.
Yes.
And a lot of my patients that are grandparents will tell me that they want to be able to enjoy their grandchildren. And to them, that's important. And for that, we do have to work at it. I love the fact that you're motivated. Don't ever give up the motivation, no matter what, because that's what's going to help you. The desire is important. The quest will come only if there is a desire. And then you seek out, what more can I do to maintain this? And so I'm very happy to hear that for you, sir.
Yeah, because I, you know, living with my parents, as they were growing old, you know, a lot of their friends and whatever at their age, you know, I hear a lot of giving up with their medicines, saying it's not helping and stuff like that. You know, it kind of hurts to see what they're missing and what they don't understand, because they speak in their native language. And sometimes they needed translators, you know. But with this technology growing and the language is dissipating, and we learn a lot of English, and so more of understanding without translating in our area, it just takes up a lot of time out here trying to make people understand. So that's why I kept concerned that technology, how it's expanding to our people in the United States, including in Alaska here. If we have technology now, just that was just my only concern, you know. I used to think I have friends things that are buying up on me already at my age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, due to technology and stuff that they didn't kind of miss them.
Yes.
So
you might need to go visit our website, Vasily. You'll get a lot of wonderful information there. Our website address is lmclinic.com. And we're going to talk more about longevity in the medical clinics that we have here in the Pacific Northwest. So why don't you stay tuned and we'll tell you a little bit more about what we do. This is Leading Edge Medicine. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back with more of your phone calls. And you can still get into that call queue. We'd love to talk with you this morning. 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back.